we think that really in the future, and not too distant future, many, many, many organizations are going to be deploying as their standard way of deploying users. They'll be deploying using virtual desktops. So if it's not something that you're familiar with, we certainly recommend that you become more familiar with it.
Frankly, IT. Straight talk for IT leaders everywhere.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to Frankly IT, episode 68. Today on the show, I'm talking to Joseph Landes, Chief Revenue Officer at Nerdio. You may remember Joseph from episode 52, when we talked about how MSPs can make money with Microsoft Azure. It's one of our more popular episodes. Today, Joseph is back to give us the lowdown on Microsoft's Windows Virtual Desktop, which has been on the market just under a year, but has seen incredible pickup in growth in the last 6 months because of coronavirus and the resulting workforce shifts that have seen millions of workers going remote. Joseph spent 23 years in senior leadership positions at Microsoft, so he knows the company and the technology very well. Now he's at Nerdio, where he's helping both MSPs and enterprises implement Microsoft technologies at scale, including Azure and Windows Virtual Desktop. Is it time to move your company or your clients to Virtual Desktop? We look at the trend, the tech, and how to know if it's the right fit for you.
You're listening to Frankly IT. Brought to you by Avic Networks.
Hi, Joseph. Welcome back to the show.
It is great to be here. Thank you so much for having me as a repeat guest.
Now, the last time you and I spoke, it was late September 2019. Microsoft was just about to launch their Windows Virtual Desktop product. And now here we are, not quite a year later, in the midst of a global pandemic that has driven massive business change in the way people work, massive change, pushed many millions of workers to home offices. And all I can say is, wow, it's almost like someone at Microsoft had a crystal ball, though of course they didn't. You know, conspiracy theories about Bill Gates aside, no one at Microsoft had a crystal ball. Just incredibly lucky market timing for Microsoft to launch Windows Virtual Desktop.
First of all, Jennifer, again, thank you for having me. I guess if you would have asked me today on this call, you know, how long ago was it that we spoke? I would have said 5 years ago, because so much has happened since you and I spoke. And you're right, Microsoft came out with an incredible new service, Windows Virtual Desktop. It came out in October 2019. In fact, it's something they were working on for a number of years. For the technology trivia buffs among us, it used to be called RDMI, then it was renamed to a much easier to say Windows Virtual Desktop. And it's really provided employees, companies with an incredible, incredible ability to, in fact, work from home and to work remotely and to work from anywhere and still have access to the Windows 10 desktop that they know. And in this time when so many people are literally displaced from their offices, the timing certainly could not have been better. And Microsoft regularly refers to the success they're having with Windows Virtual Desktop, particularly during the time of the pandemic.
I know you have some numbers that Microsoft has recently just released about some of the growth they're seeing in these areas. Can you share those with us?
I can. And the only numbers I've seen are really the ones that I've seen as part of their recent earnings release. If you go back two quarters ago earning release, Microsoft grew Microsoft Azure 59%. This past quarter, which they announced last week, they grew only, in quotes, 50%. And I always say to MSPs, to companies, when I meet them, you know, Microsoft just grew their Azure business 50%. Have you grown your practice by that much as well? I really think that it's another testament to the ability of the cloud to drive tremendous growth in the market. Certainly not just because of the pandemic, but really the fact that the cloud is not something that's out there a few years from now. The cloud is something that is here now, that is transforming businesses, that's transforming managed service practices all over the world. And it's really time for partners to jump on board.
Yeah, it seems like this is a freight train that's not stopping. It's just picking up speed. And if you're not on it, you're going to be left behind.
I totally agree with that. I speak to MSPs every day. And a lot of them have said, you know, I'm starting to believe that this thing you've been talking about, Joseph, for a couple of years in the channel is real. Those are MSPs, I would say, who are definitely starting to get it. Many other MSPs have jumped on the train a while ago. It's the ones that say, I can't think of one customer that I manage IT for that would make sense for the cloud. And I think those are the MSPs that it's definitely worth another conversation with, because if you can't think of one customer who it's time to move their infrastructure out of the on-premises world into the cloud, it's really time to rethink the practice.
I want to come back to that about who is a good candidate for Windows Virtual Desktop in particular, but let's back up just a second. Quickly give us a thumbnail sketch of what Windows Virtual Desktop is and some of its capabilities.
Right. So when people ask me, what is Windows Virtual Desktop? I always like to explain it this way. What I say is Windows Virtual Desktop allows a user to stream their Windows 10 desktop from the Microsoft Azure cloud. That's what it is. So I'll give you an example of a customer that we just worked with, an enterprise customer that we just worked with, their IT professionals, to move to the cloud. This is a customer that managed a call center. So they had a call center for people who were calling in every day and had questions about their bill. There were about 200 employees in the call center. And at the beginning of March, when the pandemic hit, they were told that they had to go home. All the call center employees had to go home. Now, these call center employees were concerned because they wanted to continue doing their job, but they didn't necessarily have all of the technology that they thought they needed at home, including a desktop PC and the proprietary software that they were running to manage the billing of their customer. So this organization came to Microsoft and said, is there a solution that would allow our 200 call center employees to work from home, but not just work from home, but to make it seem like they're actually sitting at their desk using the exact same software that they use while in the call center? So of course, the answer is and was Windows Virtual Desktop. So these employees went home and they were able to use any device they had. Some used a Chromebook, some used an iPad, others used maybe their child's laptop. And by placing an icon on their desktop, they were able to click on that icon and immediately be connected to a desktop that looked just like the desktop they were used to using in their call center, with all of their software, with all of their settings, with all of their data, with their profiles, and many other things. So really, it's been certainly over the past 4 or 5 months a revolution, but this is something that's been long and coming from Microsoft. For folks who are used to the old kind of RDS, remote desktop services, VDI way of working, this is the place to be. Whether you are managing a managed service practice or you are an IT professional working for a company that's looking to deploy virtual desktops.
Now that's interesting, because you said they could use any device that they had. So using their personal devices, so the employer, the company, didn't need to figure out how do we image a whole bunch of laptops or how do we get these desktop machines out of the office and into people's homes. It was just using whatever they had to dial into the office.
That's exactly right. They created the golden image with all of the software and all the settings that the employees needed. And then they essentially were sent a welcome email with a link for them to click on. And that link then populated an icon on their desktop, whatever device they wanted to use, or even multiple devices. And they were working and just as productive as they were before. The only difference is they probably could do it in their pajamas instead of their regular clothes.
Now, how is this secured? What are the security considerations around this?
From a security perspective, Jennifer, it relies on the Azure security model, and it certainly is the most secure deployment of a virtual desktop that you will see. You know, it's funny, a lot of times people say, Joseph, you worked at Microsoft, answer this question for me. I don't really feel like the cloud is secure. And then I go back to them and I say, well, what are you doing today? You know, what are you doing for security for your customers? And they say, oh, you know what? We buy a server and we actually lock it up in a cabinet. So it's very secure. Well, I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, but it's true. I've heard that story from many people. And the truth is that Microsoft has more than 10,000 employees working on cloud security, working on Azure security. And anyone who thinks that the cloud is not as secure as any other solution is certainly mistaken. So this is a very secure way for an employee to access their own data, their files, and their folders using Windows Virtual Desktop.
the company that you used in your example had 200 users. How do you know if you're an MSP looking to offer this to a client or you're responsible for IT purchasing for your company? How do you know if Windows Virtual Desktop is a good fit? Are there certain criteria or certain economies of scale that you have to hit?
We've seen deployments of Windows Virtual Desktop of as small as 5 users. So an MSP deploying on behalf of a very small business for 5 users. And we even were working with an education institution in Australia a few months ago that have more than 1.1 million objects in their Azure Active Directory and hundreds of thousands of students, professors, and staff. So I certainly believe that from a user count perspective, really anything goes. It could be a tremendous size deployment. It could be a small deployment. I really think the criteria has a lot more to do with the use case and with the scenario. And I really think it starts with remote work and what I call flexibility, the ability to not have to be tethered to a specific device in a specific place. That to me is the first use case for Windows Virtual Desktop, the ability to literally and virtually move your office around to any place. And I think if you're a managed service provider, or as you said, if you're an IT professional working on behalf of a company and you want to enable remote work for a company that you service or for your employees, Windows Virtual Desktop is certainly the best way to go about doing that.
It sounds like this is a very appealing option for a great number of companies. We've talked about size doesn't really matter, number of users. Is there anything that would make a company a poor fit for Windows Virtual Desktop?
If somebody just does not buy into the whole concept of running a virtual desktop, they'd be the ultimate poor fit. I mean, you as an organization need to buy in to the notion that your end users will be using virtual desktops and will be able to access their data, their files and folders from any device and anywhere. We haven't run into too many companies that don't buy into that notion. It doesn't mean they're all there yet, but really every company, every practice that we've spoken with, quite frankly, has bought into the concept of virtual desktops many years ago. It's just that it hasn't been as easy to do as it is today. And that's for a variety of reasons. If you look at the Microsoft technology, prior to Windows Virtual Desktop, you had to license Windows Server and you used essentially what they call the desktop experience to run the RDS way of deploying a virtual desktop. Also, from a licensing perspective, it wasn't as easy. You had to license Windows Server, RDS CALS, shared computer activation. Now, you simply need the Windows 10 and the Azure entitlement, either Microsoft 365 Business Premium or Windows 10 Enterprise, and you are good to go. So I don't really see too many organizations, too many companies where this is a poor fit at all. It's a very difficult time for the world now during this pandemic, but it's also a very exciting time for technology because technology is being taxed in a totally different way than it was prior to the pandemic. And it's forcing all of us, no matter where we are in the world, to think of new ways to use technology to enhance our lives and to enhance our businesses. So there's a lot of opportunity, I would say, out there. We certainly hope that the pandemic ends sooner rather than later, but we're thankful that the technology is there that allows us to remain as productive as we all can during what is certainly a difficult time in the world.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
So it sounds like this is hosted on Azure, so you need to be on Azure to start with.
That's exactly right, Jennifer. Windows Virtual Desktop is a Microsoft Azure service. So again, you're essentially streaming your desktop from the Microsoft Azure cloud. So you would have to purchase Microsoft Azure. You'd have to get a subscription and purchase a certain amount of compute and storage to run it. And then you also need an entitlement to run Windows Virtual Desktop. Entitlement may be called permission to run Windows Virtual Desktop. And you could get that one of two ways, either through licensing Microsoft 365 Business Premium or licensing Windows 10 Enterprise. And if you have one of those two products for Microsoft, you are entitled, you have permission to use Windows Virtual Desktop and use that Microsoft Azure service.
So are there additional fees for adding Windows Virtual Desktop to your Office 365 or Windows 10 licenses?
There's no additional fees, Jennifer, from that standpoint. Microsoft Azure, of course, is a public utility. You pay for what you use. You would determine what it would cost you to run your users, the number of users you have, the types of virtual machines you have, the types of Azure resources they're using in the cloud, and that's what you would be charged to use Windows Virtual Desktop, just like using any other service from Azure, for example, like Azure Machine Learning or HD Insight or Cognitive Services or the Bot Framework. Windows Virtual Desktop is simply another Azure service that you would rent from the company.
Now, in terms of the rollout process to get this going, can you talk about that? How long does it take? What's involved?
It really depends on your level of expertise and your desire to make things simple. I was talking before about the education organization in Australia that stood up hundreds of thousands of users. It took them a couple of hours to do the actual deployment and to assign users to session hosts. It really can be quite quick. It just depends if you have the benefit of using an automation platform like Nerdio, or if you're trying to sort of roll your own and do it by yourself in the Azure portal.
So if you don't have something like Nerdio or a similar automation platform, what's involved there?
It will just take you much longer. You're going to have to go into the Microsoft Azure portal. You're going to have to determine the rollout parameters. You're going to have to determine how many users you have, what their desktop image is going to look like. So we certainly recommend that if somebody is looking to move to Windows Virtual Desktop, using an automation platform will significantly speed up the process, make it a lot easier. And quite frankly, you probably won't make as many mistakes along the way because the automation takes over much of that for you. Certainly, leveraging the different trainings and certifications that Microsoft has, whether it's the basic Azure 900 Fundamentals class to the new WVD learning paths that they have for free up on their website, these are all great things to do. I would say that the people who are most successful rolling this out and who are able to do it with the greatest speed and accuracy and success are organizations that have some background in virtual desktops to start with. That's a great place to start. And that doesn't have to necessarily be in the Windows world per se, but just really understanding the concepts of remote desktop services and VDI. It doesn't mean that if you don't come from that background that you can't be successful, because again, that's where an automation product will help you. We think that really in the future, and not too distant future, many organizations are going to be deploying as their standard way of deploying users. They'll be deploying using virtual desktops. So if it's not something that you're familiar with, we certainly recommend that you become more familiar with it.
Joseph, thank you for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Jennifer.
That was Joseph Landes, CRO at Nerdio. I'll put Joseph's and Nerdio's contact info in today's show notes at avic.com/franklyit/068. In those show notes, I'll also put links to Microsoft's Q4 2020 earnings release and a Nerdio blog post about how to calculate the cost of Windows Virtual Desktop. Again, the link for those resources is avic.com/franklyit/068 for episode 68. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks. Own the network.